to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So this week's question for you is, what movie and or TV show had a lasting impression on you? And our answer's coming up.
Woo-hoo!
So the first bit of movie news I have is interesting, is Ryan Reynolds wants to do a Deadpool Wolverine movie, but obviously it's not going to be Logan. Which is the new one.
You mean
one.
It's not going to be Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it's Wolverine, it has to be Logan.
It won't be the movie Logan, which is allegedly Hugh Jackman's last.
They should do it with X-22.
What?
Oh. Logan's daughter.
I see. The only issue I have with them doing a Deadpool Wolverine movie is I don't know how they're going to pull it off. Because you have a very serious character versus a non-serious character. So I think they're going to have to play it perfect, or else it's going
to
suck.
Well, it's the same way they're going to have to do him and Cable. You know, Cable was always the straight man.
Yeah.
True. See, I guess that's going to be the one. I think if they do it right, then I think they could do the Wolverine one. We'll definitely see how that one turns out with Cable.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about Cable, though, because he's always an interesting character.
Yeah. I got a bit of movie news. So, we've all heard that Mel Brooks is actually finally putting out Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. So, rumor has it that he's confirmed 5 actors and actresses for a few roles. He's got...
Say Rick Moranis. Please say Rick Moranis. Please say Rick Moranis.
Bill Pullman as Lone Star. Daphne Zuniga as Princess Vespa.
Awesome.
And I gotta pull it. Where the hell did it go?
Come on.
And Jack Black as Barf.
Nice.
And oh gosh, come on, load.
There's only one name I want to hear.
I know.
And depending on it, I may not watch it if this one name is not there.
I do know that Mel Brooks is in there. I'm trying to remember the name of the person that's going to be playing the android, the female android.
Oh, yeah, because...
No.
That was Joan Rivers, wasn't it?
It was, but...
Joan Rivers passed away a couple of years ago.
Why? What the hell is going on?
Dick Van Patten's still alive?
Yeah, I think I think he is, but at this point, he may be too old to actually act.
There we go. There it is. Okay. And Lisa Lampanelli as Dot Matrix, and then, of course, Mel Brooks is going to be playing a few different characters. He has not confirmed that Rick Moranis is going to be in it. The voice guy, Mike Winslow. Winslow.
I think it's going to be really hard at this point to get Rick Moranis to do anything, mainly because he's kind of said, there's an interview with him a couple of years ago where he basically said, I got sick of acting. I think his wife passed away, so he
She was sick for a while. Yeah, he took the time to be with her and try to help her through, which is really stand up for a Hollywood actor.
I think it's going to have to be the perfect project.
Thing, he was not a Hollywood actor. You're talking about Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He's not one of us.
Well, I was kind of saying as somebody in Hollywood, and he was in Hollywood quite a lot in the 80s and 90s.
He was a sketch guy, you know?
Yeah.
He was like Second City in the what was it? Didn't he do Bob and Doug McKenzie? Was that him?
I have no idea. I do think, though, for Rick Moranis, it's going to have to be the perfect project for him to even remotely want to be in Hollywood. Because at this point, he's probably really enjoying his life making albums. I think he does comedy and music.
Yeah, it was. It was Bob and Doug McKenzie. It was a Canadian sketch show for Second City TV in Canada.
Interesting.
Also did Strange Brew. I mean, he did that.
Hey, another good point.
Did sort of kind of Hollywood quote unquote run, but always been just from all accounts a real sweet guy who didn't really want to be that big of a star.
It's funny. The other guy I want to see do more stuff is Martin Short. Another guy who was in kind of the same situation. Wife passed away, went to take care of his kids. Because Martin Short was always one of my favorite actors, like comedy wise.
That dude is still out there making rounds. I've seen him on the talk show circuit lately.
Really?
I can't remember what he was promoting, but you know, him and Steve Martin doing a couple things, and that dude is still so funny. and still so bubbly as shit. You know, I mean, he still acts like he did when he was 22, you know.
I think that's hilarious. So some of the movies coming up in 2017 is Alien Covenant. This will be a sequel to Prometheus. I'm kind of
Scott.
Yeah, it's a Ridley Scott film. He's back the reins. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but if this movie isn't, the bar has to be way higher than Prometheus, which if you read the original script of Prometheus, would have made a fucking killer movie. But
Ridley Scott, man, has rarely made a bad movie, man. That dude.
I'm really
a batting average, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's good. Otherwise, I honestly think they should give, you know, 5 to 10 years and then completely reboot the franchise, because at this point it's so muddied.
Yeah.
Because you got AVP and AVP 2, which were okay. The hell is that? Apparently somebody's attacking us. Yeah,
in Zone 2. Send the sharks with lasers on their head.
And the dogs, hounds with bees. You've got Blade Runner 2049. I actually just watched the trailer. That looks interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'm not a
Blade Runner fan. We've gone over this.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to it, though. Ryan, what do you think?
I am too, man. I think conceptually Blade Runner was incredibly ahead of its time. I think the way Ridley Scott has adapted to the modern times with his storytelling, I'd love to see any of his new stuff.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play out. The Dark Tower, which is a Stephen King book, is supposedly coming out. I've never read the book, so apparently it's going to be a former, So Alba and Matthew McConaughey top line the Stephen King adaptation, the former as a lone knight patrolling the alternative dimensions of Midworld. You know, it's a Stephen King movie, and usually his Stephen King's movies aren't bad as long as he doesn't have a lot of control over them.
Yeah, well, you know, Stephen King, I mean, incredibly prolific writer, but the guy's written so many things, and you've never heard of 90% of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you haven't heard of them for a reason. You know what I mean? There's only a couple of Shinings out there, folks.
Yeah.
I've heard that he wrote so much, at some point he was writing under a fake name.
Yeah, he did do that. And what was the TV show he did? It was like Hell Hospital or something like that. That one was actually pretty good.
And I know we've talked about Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson. Just by looking at the trailers, I actually think it's going to suck. And honestly, I'm gonna be right on that. I see there's some interesting movies. Kong Island looks interesting. It may be one that I think I'm going to catch on DVD versus watching in theaters, by what
wow.
I'm going to watch the trailer again because it was, you know, it was one of these things I watched at night when I was really tired.
Who the hell says I'm going to wait for the King Kong movie on DVD?
The Jack Black one? I did.
I still haven't seen that one. I didn't want to. It was too close of a remake of the original.
Yeah. But with Jack Black.
Pretty much. There's one called Geostorm, and according to this article in The Guardian, this is what it says verbatim, is, call it the hangover gravity effect, but space is big in 2017. The director is an Independence Day veteran. Gerald Butler features prominently in the cast. There's some positive buzz, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really tell anything. I haven't heard anything about this movie but the name. So Gerald Butler, generally he's not in a lot of bad movies. He does have some.
Well, every actor has some.
Yeah, but I think...
His bad movies are like romantic comedies that people tried to shove him in a couple of years
good
ago.
Good point.
But his batting average is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't done Cool World, but...
He's so charismatic that he can kind of carry, you know, some thin story like Olympus is Down kind of shit, you know, or whatever, White House Down...
Yeah.
London movie that he was in.
Yeah, I mean, what I said was, I mean, Gerald Butler hasn't done anything like Cool World bad, you know.
Yeah, no, it's Gerard Butler.
Shh. Gerald Butler. isn't Brad Pitt, though. I mean, come on.
This is true. But at this point, Brad Pitt's not Brad Pitt. I mean, come on.
I don't know, man.
At this point, Brad Pitt is more Brad Pitt than he's ever been. I mean, the reason that Gerard Butler's not Brad Pitt is he's 15 years younger.
Good point.
So,
well, maybe not younger, but younger in the game at least.
Yeah.
So our question this week is, what movie / TV show had a long-lasting impression? And mine is Sin City, solely based on the fact that I watched it with James, and as we're movie reviewers, every time we see a movie, our ride home is generally complaining, kvetching, talking about the movie. That was the first movie we have ever seen, and the first movie to date, only movie, that we had absolutely nothing to say but one word. Fuck. Literally. I still see a lot of movies with this guy. Still the only movie that we've ever done that
with. Yeah, that is very true. And since he picked Sin City, because that was going to be my exact one, because of the exact reasons that he brought up, is Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
That one, it was, you know, we went and saw it a Thursday night before its release.
First showing, midnight.
I could have just gone right back in the theater and watched it again.
See,
I actually wanted to, but everybody shut down, and they're like, I'm not letting you guys back.
The funniest thing is, when we saw it, I think it was with your brother?
Eric, yeah.
Yeah, and we were the only people in the theaters laughing. And we were getting looks by people when we were laughing at everything.
Not as bad as when I was chanting Die Trinity in The Matrix, the last one.
Oh, well, that one, you pissed off audience members. But we shouted at the same exact time. Because I
just
remember
die! You got 15 things of rebar through your body. Something had to hit a vital organ.
Yeah, and I remember everybody being upset that somehow we're like, that's not possible.
It's a freaking 7-minute death scene, guys. I actually timed it one day. I literally did. I was watching it. Okay, I'm like, okay, so it starts here. She's through, got the rebar in her body. You have to have bled out by now. No. No. Come on!
It somehow they missed every vital organ and artery, so she's dying.
I mean, it's like
slowly.
An Iron Maiden.
Oh. Literally one of the few times I thought we were going to have to run out of the theater.
I ain't running. I got to roll my ass out.
This is true. So, Ryan, you're up.
First of all, honorable mention, the original Matrix.
Yes.
Just conceptually, holy shit. I still think about that.
And just skip
but,
the second and third
2003, called up a friend of mine and says, new Tarantino movie's coming out. I don't want to watch this shit by myself. You're my Tarantino buddy. I'll meet you halfway.
Yeah. Fresno.
That friend was James. He lives in Sacramento. I live in Los Angeles. We met in Fresno, California, about 200 miles from each of us. With all the hype and everything leading up to all the big fans of Tarantino that we were, you know, all of the factors going into me thinking that I'm walking into the greatest thing of all time. That kind of buildup, for me to still walk out of that theater looking at James like, holy shit, that movie was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's something else. Very few movies can stand up to half of that hype, and then you see it and you're like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
We walked out, I mean, practically like we were 10 years old pretending to sword fight again.
Yeah.
By the way, I was kind of pissed that he went to see it with you. It's just like, damn it, I want to watch it with a group of people, not by my fucking self.
I got down to Fresno. I would have counted out some Reese's Pieces for you.
By the way.
you came with somebody, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I had my friend Brian
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, would you feel the same way about Kill Bill 2?
Yes.
Really?
Loved it.
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a good wrap-up movie, but in comparison to the first one, it wasn't as blast out in there, but it explained everything.
The problem
is when you hear the very simple Tarantino explanation, volume one is questions, volume two is answers.
Yeah,
it puts it all into this really simple perspective that you can enjoy it after that.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, pretty much. I mean, number two is the exposition of why she's doing all that. I still think they should actually combine it into one movie.
The whole bloody affair, you mean?
Yeah. Originally, what was it? A couple of years after the fact, they were actually supposed to make it. You literally could take pre-orders on Amazon at that point, and it disappeared.
And never returned, Quentin.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing is Quentin Tarantino basically said he has two or three movies left. I'm wondering if he's going to do stuff like that.
Maybe.
Because he's... Out of all the directors I know, he's very into his discography, and he's afraid of making crappy movies. Jackie Brown. So we'll see. I'm actually kind of hoping Tarantino gets into TV shows, like HBO miniseries.
That'd be nice.
He's had his hand in quite a few things. He's helped out quite a few people. His little partnerships with like Robert Rodriguez over the years. You know, the stuff that he's thrown his producer credits over. He's got his hand in other things, but as far as his legacy he wants is to be 10 movies and the most perfect fucking record you can possibly imagine for a director.
Yeah.
I'd say he has... Honestly, the only movie of his I really, 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 really hate is Jackie Brown.
I think.
And do you really hate that movie, or has it just been that long since you've seen it and you didn't appreciate it when you saw it?
No, I've never liked it. I've seen it two or three times. I've never liked it. I've forced myself to watch it and just couldn't get through it. I just don't like
it. Oh, I got through it.
Don't get me wrong. The acting's good. It's just something about the movie I've never liked. The people in it, it's a good choice. The pacing is decent, but there's nothing about the movie I've really ever enjoyed.
Well, it's the length and the amount of times that you feel like it's about to end, and you're like, oh yeah, we still got to wrap that up. But scene for scene, though, you know, not a bad movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's scenes in the movie that I really enjoy, but all together, I just don't like it.
He really found a way to take his time eventually. In that movie, he was trying to take his time, and it kind of dragged, and the moment seemed a little long. Monologue seemed a little drawn out. Whereas, you know, cut to Inglourious Basterds, and those moments that he lets sit there is so specific, yeah. and so for a reason, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to, at some point, I'm going to watch it again just
Jackie
to see
Brown?
If... Yeah, just to see if I like it, because there's been movies over the older I get, the more it's like, okay, I finally like this movie. Blade Runner being a perfect example, originally when I was younger, I couldn't stand it.
I still can't.
Maybe it's because
I will not stand for it.
Maybe it's because I've seen a lot more movies since the last time I really, really, really sat down and watched it when I was a kid. So it's a little bit more movies.
Jackie Brown is one of those movies that if I sat down and told you like as if it was a thing that actually happened, just kind of went through and then this happened and then this happened and then this guy did this, that girl did this, you'd think it was the craziest story ever.
True.
I mean, I've seen Jackie Brown at least twice. I'm not going to waste my time on it anymore. I'm really not. And... It's not that I want to, not going to watch it new and try to get into it. It's just one of those that I'm just going to let it die.
I've watched it probably completely twice, and I've watched bits and pieces a lot over the years. And overall,
O'Brien's right. You can't watch the film in bits and pieces and try to follow the story.
Oh, no. Because you can't. Yeah.
It's just not going
to
happen.
It's one of those things, like, it's on TV, there's nothing else to watch, I'll watch Jackie Brown, just because it's better than being bored. Like, oh, okay, this part is, yeah, I like this, oh, fuck, I hate this, you know, type of thing.
We're talking about a bar that's so high. I mean, Quentin Tarantino's worst movie, Jackie Brown, is somebody else's best movie, you know what I mean?
That's a good point. That is a good point.
You're completely right. I mean, it's still a good Tarantino movie, just
and,
not
I,
one that
I
like.
And I thought James Cameron raised the bar. Didn't he do that? Ryan?
James Cameron with what? Jaws 2?
No, he raised the bar. South Park, dumbass.
I must be not remembering that moment.
Wow. I'll have to find you that episode and tell you which one it is.
So I have another... We're running up to the end of the show, but I have a couple of pieces of movie news, and I just want to hear what everybody thinks about this.
Nobody cares, John.
Megan Fox eyed
I really
Poison Ivy in Suicide Squad spinoff.
Wait, what?
Gotham City Sirens.
Oh, they're doing the sirens with her?
This is the sole reason I wanted to say it, because Megan Fox, for me, has always been an actress that, given a right director, I thought she could be adequate to okay. She's always been used as eye candy. I don't think she could act her way out of a wet paper bag if somebody held one end open.
I disagree. I don't think she could act. I think she needs to
disappear.
Actually go to like an acting school or something, or slap the shit out of her original acting teacher. But no, this is
Katie Holmes?
What I knew was going to happen. The waters are going to get so muddy, just like with everything else, that, you know, when you see a new superhero movie or whatever, it's not going to be one of those like, oh, I can't wait till the new superhero movie's out. It's going to be like, oh, great. You know, another one of those like that we're not even going to watch the new Avengers because it might be like the Suicide Squad fucking spinoff.
And see, that literally the first time I heard that, because you, by the way, you can find all the news that we're talking about today on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/realflixreviews. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw it. I'm thinking, this is the first movie that I've known she's been in for a while, and literally, is an instant turnoff. Was they're gonna have the only reason I think they're picking her is because she's still eye candy, and Poison Ivy's always been eye candy versus anything else, but still, she's a shitty choice.
Yeah, no, man.
And another piece of news that could go yay or meh is Lucasfilm has a new 4K restoration of Star Wars, A New Hope. The question is it New Hope or Episode 4? Because in theory, if it's A New Hope, it might be a 4K restoration of the original theatrical release, which I'm hoping for, or is it the shitty special editions?
Probably the shitty.
Well, Disney's talked about doing that shit right away. I mean, you know, right when they bought Lucasfilm, that was one of their things. It was like, hey, we're gonna re-release, you know, the original cut. You know, if they remastered that the way they did the special edition without the special quote unquote bullshit.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that would be amazing. Talk about, you know, just printing money.
The most interesting thing is, don't they'd have to get permission from Fox to even do anything, right? Because they'd have to get permission to even do the 4K. Because Fox owns the rights to
Disney owns so much that I don't think there would be much of an issue. I really don't. No, I mean, they have a lawyer team that has more of a population than New York.
I hope so.
You know, I mean, they gotta have enough to cover it and take care of it. I mean, so I'm assuming they're going to.
So I want
to
see it, like, you know, so I don't know if you guys who are watching kind of know what our thing is against the special editions is. Mine, personally, is you took a film that was, I'd say, hard-edged sci-fi, and then doing the special editions, I'd say it was on the edge of hard-edge. Not hardcore, but enough.
You know, I'll put it this way.
It was art and sci-fi opera.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put it this way. As far as what they did with the special editions, I don't remember what year that came out, 99, 2000, or early 2000s.
Late 90s.
At the latest. It was basically, because all of us grew up playing Star Wars in our backyards and outside at some point. I posted an artist's rendition of that type of childhood. Excuse me. And it was the first time that Disney went around and fucked with our childhood. Because they changed it, huh?
Lucas.
Well, yeah, Lucas, sorry, not Disney. And it pretty much set the stage for what they're doing these days. You know, re-releasing crap that we had as a child and that type of stuff. So they did that one, and then they jumped on E.T. as well. And so as far as I'm concerned, that was screwing with what our childhood was. It wasn't necessarily the new making it cleaner or adding unnecessary things. It was mostly them doing changes that were unnecessary.
Well, for me, it's twofold.
I mean, making it so Han shoots first, really.
For me, it's two things. One, when it comes to films, I'm a very big purist of clean it up, make it look prettier. but keep the original story. Don't mess with anything. But the other thing is this. If you want to do a special edition, release both the original, do the same amount of love to clean it up, but say, this is my new vision for my film. You give people an option, an A or a B, but deny...
Yeah, that's the thing you know, people are kind of used to having their childhood sold back to them nowadays. So
oh, yeah.
It's really smart for them to do this, to re-release the original. But like you said, I mean, you know, the care and love that was put into cleaning everything up and remastering the sound digitally, digital Dolby surround sound and all this awesome stuff. If you wanted to see those pretty colors and things, it was robbing you of a piece of your childhood. And it really is like that. I know there's two sides of this argument, but once you put something out into the world, I'm of the opinion it's not yours anymore. Yeah. It belongs to the people you gave it to. It's like a gift.
The fans. Yeah. Yes.
That's why I do like the A and B option. Now, I've been doing a little...
So you can't Indian give the fucking Han shooting first part.
So it's funny.
I know Indian give is a terrible term. I'm sorry.
beating a dead horse.
So I did a little reading. Apparently, at some point, they did release the original on DVDs. The caveat is it wasn't cleaned up. It wasn't restored. Basically, it's here you go.
It's VHS on a DVD.
Yeah, so you had, it was a crappy transcode. It wasn't cleaned up. It wasn't made pretty. So it was kind of, here, boy, you know, we're appeasing the
Shut
fans.
Shut up. There you go.
And I hate that.
I think what they should have done is they do the special edition where everything's cleaned up on DVD. And then if they want to do the edition stuff, then it's special limited edition. Because then it's for people that are like, oh, I want to see wasn't in there. Or what you can do is have disc options. There are ones where you have one with added cutscenes.
Yeah, see.
Or like what they did in Snatch, where they gave you the Pikey translations.
Yeah, see, what I would be for, it was like James 4, have a box set that's special edition with options to view the original. Or just the original or special editions.
For how much I paid for that goddamn special edition initially, it should have come with something extra like that. I just got to say, because, I mean, that was not a cheap box set. That was over, what, $100?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, it was like over $100.
Yeah.
We, you know...
For three movies, come
this
on.
This is, you know, this is kind of beating a dead horse, is we're big purists on films. We don't like our childhoods robbed, but on the other hand, we don't like to see the artist's original... vision modified, even if it's by the original artists themselves, because you're ruining other people's movies. Yeah.
Well, you're almost ruining your own vision at the time. Obviously, you know, every artist can attest to, if I sit here long enough, I'll find something about this thing that I want to change. You know, but at a certain point, you say, you know what, I'm done. This is done. This is complete. I'm putting it out there. I'm washing my hands of it. I have no more say in the aesthetic of this any longer.
This is like going back and repainting over the Mona Lisa, saying, that's a shitty painting.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
See it. No,
just draw a smile on it. Joker style.
It's Da Vinci walking in and taking the smile off of Mona Lisa.
Yeah. And see, I know this is literally one thing that we probably bitched about all 216 episodes of Real Flix Reviews.
That's it?
Jesus.
But, you know, there's two things. One, stop remaking movies that are actually good to begin with. If you're going to fuck with our childhood, give us the option so we can watch our fucking childhood movies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For those of you interested, go out and check a documentary out called The People versus George Lucas. Very good. Kind of goes through the two sides of the, you screwed my childhood, it's okay if you change your things if you want to.
I always thought that was it's an interesting documentary. So any other movie news or any other thing you guys want to talk about before we call it a day?
Nah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, Ryan Preston, and James Stevens,
goodbye.
As always, thank you for watching. We'll be right back.